Before you can avoid audits or limit your audit risk, the first thing you need to know is how tax returns are selected for audit and what is it that causes it. It usually takes the IRS about 2 years from the time you filed the tax return until they let you know that you're being audited. So if you file your return and you get your refund and 5 months go by and you haven't heard from the IRS, don't think you're in the clear. In order to successfully reduce your risk of being audited or to avoid them, you need to know what it is exactly that causes you to be audited. Now, there's a number of different reasons that will cause a tax return to be examined, but about 90% of the tax returns that are audited, it's based on one thing, and that's a DIF score. DIF score stands for Discriminant Function System. And what it is, it's a credit score, if you will. It's a score that's tied to your tax return. The higher the score, the more likely there is that adjustments will be made if your tax return's audited. So a higher score is a bad thing. There's a number of different things that will cause your DIF score to be raised. And if you ask anybody at the IRS, nobody really knows except for a few select people. They keep that information really tight and top secret. But I can tell you, after working at the IRS for 7 years, I could come pretty close to guessing what it is that causes your DIF score to be where it's at. In fact, I got to a point where I could be within 50 points of what the DIF score was. It's kind of like a finance guy at a car dealership. If you show him your credit report, he'll be pretty close on guessing what your credit score is prior to him pulling all the credit scores with the different bureaus. What the IRS does is they compare your tax return to all the other different individuals out there who are in your same type of industry. So if you look at the front page of your tax return in the top left corner, there's a code called a NAICS code. It's spelled NAICS. What that NAICS code does is it's unique to each different industry and profession. So all the doctors have the same NAICS score. All the attorneys have the same NAICS score. All the realtors have their own NAICS score. And what the computer program does is it'll compare, if you're a real estate agent, it'll compare your tax return to other real estate agents. The more issues or items that are out of the norm, the higher your DIF score will be. The biggest items that are out of the norm are labeled by the IRS as LUQs. It's an acronym that they use, and it stands for Large, Unusual, and Questionable Items. The more LUQs you have, the higher the DIF score will be. I've reviewed a lot of tax returns over the past year for most of Lee's clients. And the first thing that I do is I look at that NAICS score to verify that it's in the correct category. There's a lot of accountants out there that don't understand the importance of having a proper NAICS score. In fact, when you're actually preparing a tax return, it takes a lot of time to look up the correct NAICS score. And if you're in a rush to get through so many returns a day so that you can make your money, you're probably not going to take the time to find the correct NAICS score. In fact, when Lee had me look at his tax return, he had a NAICS score that was tied to a retail store. That's probably the reason why he's been audited so many times over the past few years, because I don't know about you, but I don't know a lot of retail store owners that travel as much as Lee does. Now, as a speaker, he absolutely travels a lot, and had that NAICS score been categorized to the right category as a speaker, that travel wouldn't have been an LUQ item that I talked about earlier. So I talked about how 90% of the tax returns are selected for audit, and that's based on the DIF score, what the DIF score calculates. So let's talk a little bit about how we can avoid some of those LUQs. Now, one of the biggest ways you can avoid having a large, unusual, and questionable item is to break down the numbers on your tax return as much as you can. One of the biggest ways you can do that is if you have a large number, you want to itemize each of those issues out. Answer the questions that you think the IRS may have so they don't have to ask you. For example, what if you have a large travel expense? You're probably wondering, how can I break that down? The number is a big number. It's what it is. Well, within that travel expense, you have lodging, airfare, meals, and entertainment. Why not break that one number down into those three separate categories? If the number's already a small number, you don't need to do that. But if it's a large number that you think is going to be questioned by the IRS, break it down even more so it's not such an LUQ. That covers about 90% of the audits. The other audits out there are usually from informants. So someone turns you into the IRS. You have a disgruntled bookkeeper that takes your QuickBooks file and writes up a report and steals bank statements and tells the IRS that you're not reporting all of your income. Now, it's pretty rare that the IRS will audit you based on an informant, although it does happen, because the IRS understands that there's a lot of disgruntled employees and there's a lot of jealous neighbors. And to be frank, they get thousands and thousands of informant reports each year from ex-spouses and all different types of people. And they don't take them very seriously unless there's some good evidence provided. So if a disgruntled employee calls the IRS and says that you're a tax cheat and that they know you have a lot more money than you're reporting, but they don't provide any evidence, you're most likely not going to get selected for audit because of that. Now, if they give the IRS a file of your QuickBooks and say that you have two sets of books and they have both sets and they give them to the IRS, you're probably going to be audited for that. Another reason you can get selected for audit is if you buy some type of tax avoidance scheme and the IRS ends up auditing that promoter. What they'll do is they'll get their client lists and they'll look at all the client's tax returns to see if they were part of that scheme. If they were, you're going to get tied up in an audit. Oh, another reason that you can be selected for audit is if you go to a tax preparer who's doing fraudulent things on tax returns, you could get tied up into that audit. Because what the IRS does is if they suspect that a preparer is doing things on tax returns, they'll audit all of their clients' returns to build a project on them. So if you go to the wrong return preparer, you could find yourself being audited as well. I would say probably less than 1% of the audits that happen are based on pure randomness. Each year, the IRS comes out with an audit plan. And within that audit plan, they say, okay, we want to audit so many sole proprietorships with $100,000 or more of gross receipts. So we need to audit 2,000 partnership returns and 4,000 C corporations and 6,000 S corporations. Well, that audit plan changes from year to year. So I can't tell you which one of those businesses you're more likely to be audited on. So what happens is the IRS will randomly just pull returns out of the system, and then they'll go and they'll audit every single line item on that return. The point of that audit is they use those results to fine-tune their DIF score system. So it's more of an information gathering project, but you can be audited for that reason as well, although it's highly unlikely. Now let's talk about the different types of audits that are out there. There are three different types of IRS audits, generally. The first one is a revenue agent. It's known as a field audit. There's also correspondence audits, where you're audited through the mail. The third one is a tax compliance officer will audit you. It's called an office audit. You end up driving down to the IRS office and meeting with somebody in the actual IRS building. The office auditors are not trained to audit corporations, partnerships, or anything other than individual tax returns, which have sole proprietorships on them. Correspondence auditors are generally looking for one specific item. They rarely expand their audit and they ask for one item and they want you to substantiate that expense. If you can do it, they'll usually close the audit and you're done. The most intrusive audits are from IRS revenue agents. Revenue agents are required to have an accounting degree, so they're a lot more educated, whereas the office auditors, they are not, and the correspondence auditors aren't as well either. An office auditor or correspondence auditor is not trained to audit corporations or partnerships. That needs to be done by a revenue agent, trained to audit partnerships, corporations, individuals. They can essentially audit any type of tax return. Now, I can't tell you if a S corporation is more likely to get audited than a partnership, but I can tell you that a sole proprietorship is more likely to get audited than any of those businesses, because a sole proprietorship, which is also known as a Schedule C business, that can be examined by a correspondence auditor, an office auditor, or a revenue agent. And as I mentioned before, a business tax return can only be examined by a revenue agent. As you can imagine, there are a lot more correspondence audits and a lot more office audits than there are audits done by revenue agents. There's a lot more office auditors and correspondence auditors than there are revenue agents. A lot more. Revenue agents are paid a lot more money. The budgets are tight. There's not enough money. So So if you have a partnership or a corporation, you can see how you could probably limit your risk of being audited because you're reducing your audit pool from three different types of auditors that can audit you down to one auditor. Audits by revenue agents are a lot more intrusive. In fact, on every audit, they're required to go through your income. And the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to ask for your bank statements. It's rare that an office auditor will go through your bank statements. In fact, to do it, they need to get permission from their manager, whereas a revenue agent will routinely do it. They're required to go through that. And a lot of times, if they start auditing one tax return, they'll expand their audit to prior and subsequent years if the statutes aren't barred. They're going to add up all of your deposits and compare that number to your tax return. If you have a lot more deposits than what's reported on your tax return, you have a problem. So if you get any gifts or inheritance, make sure you make a special note of that or any other non-taxable sources. Make a note and record it well, or don't deposit it into your business account. Next thing he's going to do is he's going to ask for their work papers that were used to prepare your tax return. What is it that you gave your accountant so that he was able to come up with the numbers? If you don't have any work papers that can tie to the tax return, you can guarantee that your audit's going to get expanded and they're going to start looking at a lot more issues. So what you want to do is you want to have books and records that can clearly tie to the tax return. Once they have the books and records that tie to the tax return, they will look at your different ledgers and they may sample some items, ask you for some receipts and proof of payment. If you don't have that, they're probably going to dig even more, but if you can substantiate the expense, they're most likely going to stop there. Revenue agent audits are a lot more intrusive, but they're a lot easier to deal with because they understand the tax law a lot more than the office auditors.
You know, while we're on the topic, I want to talk a little bit about books and records and keeping those. If you're audited and the IRS agent asks for your books and records and they can't determine how you came up with your tax liability and you can't either and it's just a big mess, they will actually issue you an inadequate records notice. And it puts you on notice that you need to keep better books and records. And what they'll do is they'll actually follow up with you in a year or two and they'll audit you again to see if you started keeping better books and records. So I want to give you a few tips on what records you need to keep and how to keep them, and because I'm asked this question constantly. The IRS doesn't specifically state how to keep your books and records. What they do say is that your books and records must have enough detail so that your liability can be accurately reported and verified. I've run across people who never throw anything away. My grandparents kept their tax returns for the past 20 years of boxes of stuff. Generally, you only need to keep your tax returns and your tax documents for 3 years. The IRS has 3 years from the time you file your tax return to audit it. Now, if there's fraud or you leave off significant amounts of income, that changes. They generally will have 6 years to audit you. But if you've reported your income and you've been honest on your tax return after 3 years, you no longer need your records. The IRS is not going to audit you anymore. In fact, they can't. It's called the statute of limitations. After 3 years, it's done. Now, if you never file a tax return, there is no statute of limitations. The IRS can come after you in 50 years. So just file. The second thing is, a lot of clients and taxpayers, when I was working at the IRS, they gave me receipts that were faded or worn away. I couldn't see it, and they acted like it wasn't their fault. I had to allow it. Well, the truth is, it is your fault. If I can't see your receipt, and I'm an IRS agent, you're not going to get your deductions. What I do is I scan all my receipts. In fact, you don't need to keep your original receipts. A scanned receipt is just as good as the original. So I get a receipt, I scan it into my computer, I label it so I can find it, and I throw the original receipt away. If you look on YouTube, Lee and I made a video on that, so you can kind of see exactly how I scan it and how I save those receipts and what I do.